Okay, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your word today. I pray that you would just anoint my words, Lord, that you would encourage your people in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So count it all joy when you encounter various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Do you know, we all have to go through trials. Our faith is tested. I would say that the first sort of the last 2 years, 2019 to 2021, 22, are the hardest 2 years that Jane and I have ever been through. You know, some of you know what we went through, and, you know, some of you prayed for us. We appreciate that. You supported us and everything. But, you know, there are some people who just go through worse than you do. So we're in the Alps. And there's Pastor Dan from the United States, and Pastor Dan, he's a cheery guy. He's always smiling and so forth. And we get talking, and I say, how did the pandemic go for you guys over in Texas? And they started telling me what they've been through, and I thought, wow, you know, first of all, he has a successor. He's just coming up to 60. He's got a successor lined up to take over, and his successor leaves him. And then his right-hand man, senior guy in the church, has a bleed on the brain, and he's in emergency hospital. And he comes through it. He lost his complete memory, and God restores it to him, and he's doing okay, but he steps down. So he loses his leadership. Then a tornado comes. And he says he was at the church at 9 and he drove home and he got a telephone call from one of the guys. He says, Pastor, the church is gone. And he goes, what do you mean the church is gone? Yeah, the church is gone. And so he drove back to the church and it, like a tornado, would go straight through the church and it had gone. And he said it was really hard to source wood during a pandemic. If you remember, the wood prices went through the roof. But they rebuilt it and they put the frame up and everything. And then another tornado came and took the frame away and they had to start again. And I'm thinking, I'm glad I went through what I went through having talking to Pastor Dan. And so he said that they're back up and running again. It's been sorted and insurance paid for the reconstruction of the building and so forth. But only half the people have come back. And they're really rebuilding it. And do you know what was so amazing was, just as he's reiterating his stories of the test he's been through COVID, he does it with joy in his heart and a smile and a laugh. And it's just like, where would I be but God? And here's the thing is, consider it joy, brothers, when you enter various trials. You will enter to trials. You will go through things. But let me tell you this, there is always someone going through something worse than what you're going through right now. Consider it joy. Faith. The testing of your faith. That word testing means the proving or the way by which something is tested or proved. It's your faith is put under pressure to see how genuine it is. Everybody's faith is tested. And God is looking for the genuineness of our faith. It's a bit like when you build a bridge, they stress test the bridge. So they know that if, you know, if 1,000 cars go across it every hour, it's going to be okay. If there's an earthquake, it's not going to collapse. If there's a flood, it's going to hold. So they'll stress test it and they will make mitigating factors to help this bridge go through whatever life will take the bridge through. A stress test. It's the same word from the Greek is that my faith will be stress tested. To see whether it's genuine or not. So, it only appears twice in the whole New Testament, this word. So let me just turn you to the other place, 1 Peter 1, It's just a couple of pages over. And we'll see it here. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 to 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested, there's the word again, genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that a wonderful piece of scripture? And here's the point. Both of these scriptures, they relate to rejoicing or joy. And both of them talk about something's produced. So in 1 Peter, we see we obtain the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. And in James, it says that we'll produce steadfastness or patience. And when patience has its full work, we'll be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. It's hard sometimes to count things joy, isn't it? So you're either in a storm, coming through a storm, about to go into a storm. It's just the nature of life to be stormy. It's okay. And Jesus gives us some indication of the best way to prepare for a storm. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But the best way to prepare for a storm, you'll find in Luke 6, where Jesus tells this story about two men, a foolish man and a wise man. And they both came to Jesus. You've all come to church. They both heard what Jesus has got to say. You're all hearing what the Lord's saying through me. But only one man did it. Only one man did what Jesus said. And then the storm came, and the man who did what Jesus said, the storm went right through his house, right past him, but the house stood. And the foolish man, his house was destroyed, and great was its destruction. So what Jesus is trying to tell us now is, let's just do the right thing now. Let's just do what he wants to say. It says in James, and we'll come to this probably in a few weeks, it says, the man, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror and forgets what he looks like. So count it all joy. Count it all joy. I want to encourage you to count it all joy when the testing of your faith, when your faith is being tested. How do you know your faith is being tested? Because you're asking questions. Did God really say this? Or why is this happening to me? Or I don't understand. Or I was expecting this. Or this hasn't happened. And you're asking these questions. And it's like count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Faith. Stop a moment. Just a moment. What's faith? I love the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is. Everybody say, is. See, it's a present tense thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. With faith, we can receive something though we don't have it. We can have it as an acceptable fact, even though it hasn't come yet. When I was a child, I got sent to boarding school. There's a couple of us that went through boarding school. Some of you had a great time. Others had mine was okay. But every now and then, my dad would say, or my mum would say, "We're going to send you some money." And those were the days before internet banking and bank transfers. It was like a check in the post or cash in the post. And as soon as they said, "We're going to send you money," I said, well, thank you. I didn't say, I'll believe it when I receive it. I didn't say, I'll believe it when I see it. I didn't say, I'll believe you and thank you when I've got the crisp notes in my hand. No, I just said, thank you. Because I trusted that they were going to do what they said. And God's looking for us to be like that. That we would simply trust him. If God said it, that settles it. And it's as good as done. But have you ever thought this? What tests our faith? So faith is substance. It's the thing I'm hoping for. The evidence of the thing I'm believing God to do before I see it. And I was thinking about this question. What would test your faith? And I've put it into two categories. And actually, they can work together at the same time. The first category is this, contrary circumstances. God has said something to you, and it hasn't happened. In fact, it got worse. And we go through contrary, and we don't understand. We say, God, where are you? God, you're believing God for a job, perhaps. And you're saying, well, where's the job, Lord? You say in your word, you'll supply money, but where is it? And you go for interviews, or you don't even get asked to interviews, and it's all this contrary circumstances. Things aren't working out like you thought. We're trusting God for this thing to happen in our lives, and we're entering a storm when the opposite happens. Now, that reminds me of Job. Job was this wonderful man. Have you seen my righteous servant Job? God said. God boasted about Job. And then the devil attacks Job. He loses his children. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. He doesn't understand what's happening because he thought if he was righteous and he followed God, everything would be okay. Everything would work through. He thought that he couldn't see where he'd done anything wrong. And he's just sitting in a corner by himself, scratching the sores and the scabs on his body from this infirmity that's afflicting him. Contrary circumstances. It tests your faith. I believe we're going to see lots of people saved in Bridgend. Contrary circumstances. Number two, delayed manifestation. It's when you believe God's word, you're believing for a promise, and it hasn't come to pass. And you're still waiting, and you're still waiting, and you're still waiting, and you're still waiting, and you're still waiting. Where is it, God? You promised it. I read it in your word, and then the prophet spoke over me, and I know that this is, you put it in my heart, this was going to happen. Delay, delay, delay. How many of you waiting some years for a promise to be fulfilled? Delay, delay, delay. Delayed manifestation. Now that reminds me of Abraham. Because Abraham was 75 years old when he had the promise. The son of promise. He'd be a father of a multitude. 75 years old when he had a promise. And it was 25 years before Isaac was born. And you can read his story because he didn't do very well right through the 25 years. So if you're believing for a promise and you haven't done well through the whole period, it's okay. But we need to come to the place where in hope against hope, we believe God. And he accounted to us as righteous. Just so you have this either contrary circumstances or you have delay. Delayed answer. And both these things stress test your faith. And you say, God, where are you? God, what are you doing? And you question things, don't you? It's interesting. Job must have questioned so many things. But it says this. But with his mouth, he did not curse God. So you're in a trial. You're believing for something. You're looking for God to do something. You have a promise. And James isn't very empathetic, is he? Because when life isn't working well, we want people to sort of just smooth our arm and say, there, it'll be okay. James doesn't say that. He says, count it joy when you're going through it. Count it all joy. Would he be welcome in your house? Don't you hate those Christians when you're feeling sorry for yourself and they come to your door and say, praise the Lord, isn't God good? Look what he's done in my life. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. There's something about looking beyond the trial, looking beyond the test. It produces something. God isn't putting us through a test just for the sake of it. He's producing something in us. Now keep your finger in James. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. Let me just remind you what Paul says to us here. Verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray without ceasing. This is God's will for all of us. It's interesting. He doesn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. 4 years ago, or maybe 4.5 years ago, my mother got ill, and those of you in the church would know that. And I remember sitting in the doctor's waiting room 4 years ago. It's 4 years in November, so it'll be 4 years next month. And the doctor put up a picture of a cancer that was afflicting my mother on one screen before chemotherapy, and he put up another picture of it after chemotherapy. And it was kind of a little bit reduced, but not a lot. And he said to her, well, we're really sorry. There's nothing you can do. We can't do anything for you. Why don't you go and get palliative care advice from Velindra Hospital or where have you? And, you know, he sent her home to die 4 years ago. Now, we didn't give thanks for the cancer. That would be stupid. Thank you, I've got cancer. We gave thanks in the cancer. And my mother said this. She said, well, I'm not afraid to die, but I don't want to die yet. And 4 years later, she's still with us. She's like, she just keeps going. Why? Because she's counting it joy. She has a testimony because she's counting it joy. We count it joy, not for the circumstance. We count it joy in the circumstance. You know, Pastor Dan probably wasn't saying, praise the Lord, a tornado has blown away the church. I certainly wouldn't. If this place burnt down, I wouldn't say, praise the Lord, it's burnt down. But I would praise the Lord. I mean, what else are you going to do? You might as well. We sung it earlier. He's worthy of praise. Count it all joy, my brothers. Now, some of you might be right in that midst of this storm, or things might be happening to you and so forth. I have no idea. But what I do is I give you advice. Count it all joy. When you enter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. Everybody say produces. God is doing something in my life. He's producing something. Count it all joy. Look beyond the test. And rejoice because God is working. Don't change your confession. Don't change what you say. If God said it to you, just hold on to it, even if it looks impossible. Find out what God is saying and say what he says. You know, for some of you, have you ever thought this? That maybe what you're going through right now is because of what you prayed. Make me more like Jesus, Lord. Make me more like Jesus. And it's like the whole world collapses around you. What have I done, Lord? Oh, I'm just answering your prayer. Because it produces patience. And when patience is done, you're perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Well, I want to do great things for God. I want to do great things for God. Well, the Bible says if we want to do great things for God, we've got to humble ourselves. So God's saying, well, I've got to bring in the circumstances to make this boy humble himself before me, or this woman humble themselves. And in comes the circumstances. What's God doing? Answering our prayers. He's producing something in us. Help me to love people, Lord. Are you sure? Do you want me to answer that prayer, Alex? Okay, here we go. We were in Germany. I was talking to Pastor Tony, and we were just talking about some of the storms we've gone through. And I've been through a few. And then Jane relates this situation that we went through not that many years ago. And it was just like, wow, I'd forgotten all about it. You know, but that was a love test. You know, when somebody is harassing you and you know, we were harassed by somebody. It's a long story. Can't go into it. The police were involved several times. It was just, you know, it was just like, what are you going to do, Alex? You're going to love them? Are you really building a house of love? And we had to ask our question, what does love look like in this circumstance? And how do I love in this circumstance when you don't want to? What's God doing? He's answering my prayer. I want to love people. Oh, yeah, it's a lot easier to love you guys now that I've gone through that test than it would have been beforehand. You know, we've spoken a lot in theory about coming through the storms. Let me give you an example. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 27. The best examples are Bible examples. So, King David is anointed king. We don't know what age, but let's say 15 or 16 years old, he's anointed king by the prophet Samuel. We know he's around that age. He might have been a year younger, a couple of years older, but he's a teenager. And, you know, this teenager, along comes the prophet and pulls him out of the sheep pen. Nobody else recognizes him, but Samuel. You know, remember what God said? I don't look at the outward man, I look at the inward man, and pulls him out. He anoints him. And then David goes on a few successes, if you remember. He kills Goliath. You know, he gets 1,000 Philistine foreskins for his wife. Just, he has this number of successes, and things are looking good. And then all of a sudden, the king turns against him. And David spent about 7 years as a fugitive from the people of Israel. You think about it, he was faced with contrary circumstances. You're going to be King David, and he's living in a cave. And he's also delayed manifestation. You're going to be King David. And like, how many years is it going to be before I'm a king? And in Psalm 27, we get a sense of his heart. And this is what it says. We're only going to read three verses because of time. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So he declares what God is in the midst of the cave. And then he says this in verse 13 and 14. And these scriptures have got me through some dark times. "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." I believe, and I do, I believe that we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I believe if we look really closely, we're surrounded by his goodness. But I believe those things that God has put in my heart and the things he's put in your heart, we're going to see manifest in our land. I believe in great changes coming in our land because we are sons and daughters of the living God, and we have covenant with the living God, and he hasn't forgotten us. So I can say, I believe I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And then he says, wait. Wait, 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 wait. I've been waiting a long time. Anybody waiting a long time? But we're not waiting for a bus that may never come. Wait for the Lord. And while we're waiting for God, it says, be strong. Let your heart take courage. See, when we take God's word, it encourages us to keep on going. Wait for the Lord. Let your heart take courage. That's why you hear me get up here and I'll say, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. There's just something about everything's going to be okay that just warms my heart. And I tell myself, Alex, everything's going to be okay. Whatever I'm facing, everything's going to be okay. Why? Because I have covenant with the living God. Now, everything may not turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. I tell you, none of it's turned out the way I thought it was going to turn out. But everything's going to be okay. And I'm waiting for God to do what he promised. And I'm looking for God to do what he promised for me and for you and for this church. That's why we consider it joy. Because God is up to something. Consider it joy. Knowing. Once you get to know that the testing of your faith produces something, it's like, well, I've got to go through this again, Lord. So what about you? What are you going through? Where are you being tested? We've talked a little bit about the cost of living situation. You know, energy bills went up yesterday to the new price cap. Inflation's gone up. Interest rates have doubled. And that's one area where people are challenged, and some people are more challenged than others. But there are other areas where you're being tested. I read these words just a few weeks ago. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I read while I was away that, you know, there was hardly any news reporting of we picked up a Swiss newspaper. Like, we weren't even in it. I mean, the UK, not me. And, you know, we get back and apparently we've been through this financial crisis and £1 trillion has been knocked off our pensions and so forth. And oh my goodness, what's happening? And the economy's in meltdown and the Conservative Party, they're like 33 points behind the Labour Party. And it's like, the whole country is falling apart. We've only been away for a week. But in Europe, it's like nothing's happening in the UK. And Tony was saying, he was going, oh yeah, every time they report about Europe in Germany, it's, and this is happening because of Brexit, and this is happening because of Brexit, and this is happening because of Brexit. You know, everything that bad that happens in the UK is because of Brexit. You know, Putin invaded Ukraine because of Brexit, and the gas because of Brexit. You know, they don't like Brexit over there, as you can imagine. But everybody's going through stuff. But there's a place that you can get to that helps you rejoice, count it joy. And it's a place of rest. I thought it was wonderful what Ben talked about last week, the peace of God. My peace I give to you. And it's this peace that passes understanding. So, you know, everything's going around. Your whole world's falling apart. Nothing's happening. And you're just sitting in the corner. Resting, because everything's going to be okay. I was thinking, because of hurricanes and so forth, do you know, in a hurricane, there is an eye of the storm. And it's a region of mostly calm weather. And it's like 30 to 65 kilometers across, or 15 miles across, 20 miles across. And surrounding it is this like wall of rain and wind and terrible weather. But in the middle, it's just peaceful. You can look at the Eye of the Storm in on YouTube. I'm sure there's stuff there. And it's a bit like, as the church, we all go through the same storms everybody else goes through. But we can go through it in the eye of the storm. We can go for it in a place of peace. My peace I leave with you. And I was thinking about it. I'm one of those pastors, I'd like to give you five things to do. You know. So I want to give you three things. And if you do one of them, I'll be pleased. And remember what I said, that those who hear the word and don't do it are foolish. So that I'm just putting some responsibility on you. But three things. I think the first thing is this. Rejoice. Rejoice in the truth that God is producing something in you. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. I don't think there's anybody in this room that wouldn't want to be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. That's a good place to be. But to get there, I've got to go through the storm. I've got to go through the trial. I'm sorry. There's no other way. So I might as well rejoice on the journey. Remember when we were locked down and I didn't feel like rejoicing? Have you ever felt like that? You never feel like rejoicing. But I forced myself to sing this song. And it goes like this, and I'm not going to sing it to you because you know I'm not good. But the words are, there's this joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Do you know this one? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. There's this joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And it's like my whole world's just, it's a real challenge. My faith's been challenged. Everything's challenged. Let's sing the song again. Because I knew, James, there's this joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Do you know, it would have been really good if Pastor Dan had rung me at that time and told me his problems. Because I'd have thought, wow, you know, my problems are nothing. There's no tornadoes here in Bridgend. But do you know what there is? There is a joy. There is a joy in our hearts. And I play the other song, I've got a river of joy flowing out of me. Makes the blind to see and the deaf to walk, deaf to hear, I guess, not walk, deaf to hear. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. And I'd speak to myself, rise up, oh well, within my soul. Rise up, oh well, and make me whole. And I'm confessing I have joy. I'm rejoicing in what God has done. I'm rejoicing in what God is doing. And I'm rejoicing in what God is going to do. Because worship and praise and joy is the language of faith. So the first thing is just rejoice. 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 I did something I'd never done before in my life while I was away in Germany. I watched England play Germany on the television. Did anybody watch the game? I don't know if you watched the game. And it was like dire. Germany were 2-0 down. 2-0 up, that's right. And it was just like I'm sitting with Pastor Tony and they're 2-0 down. And suddenly they score. Then they score again. Then they score again and they're 3-2 up. It was fantastic. For a moment, I entered a place of joy in the English football team that sadly was spurred away by the equalizer. But you know, you feel that elation. Let's turn our hearts towards Jesus. Because he is the source of our joy. Number two. When you're in the storm, hold fast the confession of your faith. because he's taken beyond you beyond the test. So Hebrews 10, 23. It says this: let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That holding fast, if you imagine you're in a storm on a ship and you tie yourself to the mast and you hold yourself onto the mast with all your might, that's what holding fast means. It's hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. So if God promised it, he's going to do it. So let's hold our tongues. In our house, we have this saying. I started it and I get picked up on it. And we say this: that's a bad confession. So if somebody talks in contrary to the word of God, somebody gets pulled, that's a bad confession. It's so good that you get picked up on it. But so many of us just have bad confessions. You know, if you say, I don't know where Jesus is, it feels like he's left me. That's a bad confession. Because the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we've got to train our tongues to come into line with the word of God. And sometimes, I remember, and I've told this story many times, that I got this revelation that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. And it's just like, loads of bad things happened in our house. And I was standing in the kitchen with Jane, wanting to cry. And I said this: goodness and mercy follow the Ashtons all the days of our life. And we were going through a bit of a test. Am I going to lose my confession, or am I going to say what the word says? And I said it, and it wasn't long before it became so. Hold fast the confession of your faith. Your God is true. Your God is faithful. Your God does love you. Your God is for you. Your God is working all things together for good to those who love him and called according to his purposes. And that's me, and I hope it's you too. What a God we have. The third thing is this. So number one, rejoice. Number two, hold fast your confession. Hold on. Don't change what you're expecting. And number three, we enter the kingdom like a little child. So we've got to be humble and trustworthy. It says in Matthew 18, verse 2, calling to him a child, Jesus put the child in the midst of the disciples and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Father is looking for us to become like children. You know, there was a time when there's a time in every father's life when whatever you tell the kids, they believe you. If you said, I've got a part-time job and I'm Superman, they go, are you really, Dad? You know, if you tell them that the earth is flat, the earth's flat. You know, you can, not that we ever lied to our children, but you can lie to children and they'll believe you, won't they? Why? Because of their simple trust. And the Father is looking for us to trust him in a childlike way. When Lydia was 7 or 8, there was a craze of the fold-down scooters. Do you remember the fold-down scooters? They still have them, where you get these scooters, they fold down and they sort of fold up and so forth. And everybody in the school was getting fold-down scooters. And so she came to her mum and dad and he said, Mum, Dad, could I have a fold-down scooter? Very reasonable request, and it was a reasonable price of about £30 or £25. And we said, we're really sorry, Lydia, we don't have any money. But let's pray and let's believe that God is going to give you the money that you need to buy the fold-down scooter. I said, okay. And then I said, because you know how children are with those puppy eyes, and they go, I would like to buy a fold-down scooter. And you go, oh, here's a fiver, or here's a tenner, or, you know. We said, we're not going to tell anybody, because you don't need to. Just need to tell your Heavenly Father. That's what we did. We prayed. Didn't tell anybody. And it was just one of those months where people gave Lydia money. And by the end of the month, she had £30. She had more disposable income than Jane and me put together. She had £30. And we went out and we bought a fold-down scooter. A year or so later, the same child put a picture of a 7-seater car on our kitchen cupboard, and she wrote on it, "God keeps his promises, even our new car." And she just drew a rainbow. 2 months, 6 months later, somebody knocked on our door with the keys to a 7-seater car. Just childlike faith. God is, he loves you. He's your dad. And he wants you to trust him with childlike faith. If God said it, he is faithful who promised. So I know that some of you are going through a storm. I know some of you have just come out of a storm. And I know all of us will go into another storm sometime soon. Why? Because God loves us enough. That's why. Because he wants me to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Do you have any lack in your life? You know, I just thought it. The first thing I thought we lack is the power of God. I'd like to see more of the power of God in our church. I'd like to see more of the manifestation of God's presence in our church. I'd like to see more of the manifestation of God's goodness in our church. So I've got these things that I spiritually lack. And I say, God, we'd like to see you move in Bridgend. And he goes, do you really want to do that, Alex? And I say, yes, I do. And he says, come on, walk this way with me. And I walk this way with him. And everything in my life is just destroyed. Apart from my marriage. It seems. But it isn't. God is moving the furniture around in my heart to change me to become like his son. You mean changed into the image of Jesus? I have found in my Christian life that when everything is still calm and going well, I don't change very quickly. But when everything isn't going well, it drives me to a place called on my knees. And I commune with my God. I hold on to my God. I hold on to my confession. And I have found in 35 years of following Jesus that he who promised is faithful. Should we stand together? Would the musicians like to come up? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day dawning near. I think now is just a good time. Let's just focus on Jesus for a minute. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your circumstances are. But I do want to encourage you to consider it joy. I started this morning by saying we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And I just want you to take your seat now. high above. You are high above, seated with Christ Jesus. That's your spiritual place. So, Father, we just come to you today and we just hand over to you the weight and care of tomorrow. And we look for your peace today. Lord, we count it all joy because you're doing something in us to cause us to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. And I just ask, Lord, that something would settle in our hearts, that we'd come to the eye of the storm and look up. In Jesus' name. Amen.